All right, so James, my middle kid, has been super into mom for the last like several months. Loves
mom?
Mommy.
Oh, like, mom. Yes, like as in his mom.
Yeah, his
mommy,
mother. Yeah.
Not me. Not daddy.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other night he was like crying for daddy while mom was putting him to bed.
Aww.
I was putting Benji to bed, our baby, and so Kat is texting me like, he really wants you. So I rushed through, put Benji to bed, came into his room. He's crying out, daddy, daddy, I need daddy. I come in there and he's like, daddy, I need ice in my cup.
I need a favor is what I need.
And so I got him ice in his cup. He's like, okay, bye.
Get out.
So he can do books with mama. I was like, finally, he's choosing me.
Come here, servant.
To put ice in his cup.
Errand boy.
Come here. I need ice.
I know, I need a little bell.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Come here, daddy.
Love that.
Doesn't Kat also ask you for ice in her cup?
She does.
Yeah.
It's a learned behavior. Yeah. This is a learned thing, yes.
He's on it.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Right, and happy Halloween. You were looking at the monitors.
I was checking it. Yeah. I hadn't looked over.
We have some trauma with the monitor cutting out. Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy.
Halloween. Happy. Oh, yes,
we're combining our holidays now.
Easter and Halloween.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there is a zombie. So
there's a zombie.
What are your kids going to be?
In Matthew. The people rise up for the... Yeah.
Why don't we celebrate the Easter zombie?
No, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
Forget the bunnies.
Easter zombie.
I've never heard a sermon on it, and I probably never will, right? Because I guess when Easter comes around, you're like...
Jesus.
You're not going to preach on that.
Right. That's
maybe not the primary point of the story. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Halloween.
What are your kids being for Halloween?
My kids are surprising me with their costumes, so I'm not supposed to know what they're going to be.
Oh, okay.
I do know because Amanda's bad at keeping secrets, but you know, sure. I'm not supposed to know, so I won't say here.
Bus.
Are they listeners?
Yeah.
No, neither of them are listeners, yeah.
What's Gray going to be? Yeah.
She's going to be a jellyfish.
Okay. Lights, cool. Love it. She's going to walk around stinging people.
Maybe. We'll see what she does with it. I made the costume this year, so y'all have to compliment it.
They don't sting people. You get stung by being in their vicinity.
Right. The ocean is theirs. You're just in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
So they're not like reaching out their tentacle to attack me.
It's just
I'm near
not.
It. I
they
got
have
you.
No brain, no eyes.
That's
no
rude.
Way to gotta,
why are you going to like,
they
why
don't.
You gotta attack the jellyfish like this?
They float around, yeah. And when you bump into them, they sting you.
Put you on blast, jellyfish. Yeah.
You don't have a brain.
it's not like a plant is thorning you with its bush. It's,
sure.
You know, yeah, you just get thorned.
You walk into it. Yeah. That's on you.
Timmy will probably wear Spider-Man pajamas. And,
love that.
Yeah. Nice. James is going to be a witch.
Okay.
He likes to do like a declarative statement too. I'm like, hey, what do you want to be for? He goes, I say a witch.
Okay.
A spooky witch.
I like the declarative. Is that consistent from day to day or is it still like
changing? It changes all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but he has a witch costume.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's what he's going to be. Yeah.
Okay. One way or another, we're landing on witch.
He has a Spider-Man costume too, so he wants to do that. That's fine. But that's
witch or Spider-Man.
Witch or Spider-Man. Yeah. Or both.
Spider witch.
Spider witch.
Spider witch.
Yeah, witch man.
It's called a wizard.
Yeah. Man witch.
Dressed up like a bun. And
big sandwich. Yes, yeah.
No, wasn't that? That was like a meatloaf, or not meatloaf. What's it called? Sloppy Joe and a can.
Yeah, man witch.
That's
man witch.
Yep, 100%. Yeah. So there. And then the baby will be Mike Wazowski. So.
Mike
nice.
Yep.
That was a very good Boo impersonation.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Just like a 2-year-old. Yeah. Congratulations.
No news article today. So we're going to do a Halloween candy draft.
All right.
Oh, I hate these.
Okay.
I always lose. Patrick always goes on a campaign to like smear my draft.
And I come out on top anyway.
Yeah. It's just because you're lead pastor. That's
I'm fine with it.
We
all embrace whatever leads me to victory.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. We need to do it blind, maybe.
Yeah.
Not David's one. But
that was your own fault. You put it on there. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Your categories are. Chocolate 1.
Okay.
Chocolate 2. We have two chocolates.
Two chocolate opportunities. Sure.
Yeah.
A non-chocolate candy.
Okay.
A wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be anything you would expect to potentially get in your bucket.
Yeah.
Your bag. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And a guilty pleasure. And this would be a candy that is objectively bad by the masses.
Yeah.
But you still like
it. And the masses in this case are defined by the other two people in this room.
Yeah, or like, you know,
I mean,
even
I'm just
if
clear,
all
like,
three of us...
We're not doing
like,
a poll.
Well, like, if it's like, I, you know, a Twix is my guilty pleasure. Like, all three of us might not
Everybody.
Like Twix, but it's not. Like,
it's
that's not
objectively
not
bad.
Yeah. And we all might like the guilty pleasure, but I know, like, if it was Easter and you said, I like Peeps, I get that that's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
That is a universally disliked candy.
It's... It's not a good candy.
It's controversial.
People like it, but it's not good.
A controversial candy. Yeah. Like, you can acknowledge it's controversial.
It's a hot take to say, I love Peeps.
Right.
My wife's red flag is that she likes Peeps after they're stale, just to be clear. Like, she lets them sit out intentionally. No, that's so weird. Why do you... what is wrong with you people?
The candy gets best the worse it gets. Right. Yeah.
That is not a good sign.
It's
of
like Chinese food, you know, where the next day it's better.
Right. Yeah, it's better the next day, but it's not dried out and crunchy the next day.
Some of it is, yeah. All right, so we're going to do a random draft order. I got a website here. All right. Random draft order, and we're going to snake draft this.
Right, yeah.
And if you don't know what that means, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I have no idea, but...
That's okay. You'll be fine. You ready?
It reverses the order between rounds, but okay.
You ready for my random order noise?
All right, it goes David...
You didn't let me do my noise.
Oh, do your noise. David Elise Patrick.
Yes! Draft one again.
Number one.
Draft one again. Woo! Coming in hot.
PD over here.
I'm getting my guilty pleasure off the board right away. I'm taking candy corn. I want it. I want all of your candy corn.
Such a bad move.
I want the candy corn with pumpkins. I want the candy corn in regulars.
Wait a minute.
I want all the candy corn.
Candy corn and candy pumpkins are two different things.
It's just candy corn in the shape of a pumpkin. It's not a different thing.
I think they're the same thing. I'm.
They are literally identical.
All right. I dissent.
It's not even like regular Reese's and Reese's like eggs or something. It's not even like that where they're like slightly different. They're exactly the same thing.
Candy corn is what it sounds like when you say Reese's. All right, Elise, you're up.
I'm going to do chocolate number one. I am going to do Reese's Cups.
Yeah.
Solid choice.
Yeah,
solid.
I mean, that's the number one pick.
Yeah.
To get in the second. All right.
Listen, sometimes you don't just need the star player. Sometimes you need to build the whole team. All right. I'm going for a whole team mentality.
I'm also going to go with a chocolate here for my number one here. I'm going to go with my actual favorite, peanut M&Ms.
Okay.
Okay. And now I get the first pick.
Interesting.
In round two.
Interesting. Peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
That's your top pick?
It is. I love peanut M&Ms.
You're not going to win this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're already out. It's fine. You're already done.
You haven't seen my draft. All right.
Yeah, you're already done.
I'm going to go back to chocolate.
That's no
back
surprise.
Back to back chocolate. Yeah. I think that's the best. Now, for me, this is it's either one of two candies here. I think they're both good. They're both solid.
Well, you got to pick.
But I'm going to pick. And I'm going to go with a Kit Kat as my second.
Weak.
Okay.
Weak choice.
That's not weak. Who doesn't like a Kit Kat?
Me, for one.
Well, you pick candy corn as your number one pick. So.
Yeah, because I'm building the team from the bottom up, all right?
Yeah. All right,
I'm
Elise,
building the Ted Lasso
you
of candy
are up
selections.
Again.
Okay, I'm going to do Three Musketeers and chocolate.
Solid choice.
Two.
That's crazy. But that, okay.
That's my actual favorite candy. So.
Three Musketeers is a solid candy bar. I like
that. And then Pastor David dropping.
All right, I'm going double up with chocolates for my, what would be my second and third pick. I get both of them right.
Yeah.
So I want to get a Twix and I want to get a Snickers, please.
Okay.
Twix was definitely what I was debating between Kit Kat or Twix.
Twix would have been the superior choice. You chose wrong.
No, I think Kit Kat is great. And really, most of the chocolates are all pretty good. So it's like...
It's hard to go too far.
Yeah, you know, they're all good.
I would definitely take Milky Way over Kit Kat or peanut M&Ms. Just throw that out there, too. Since Milky Way is not on the board, I definitely would have taken that, but that's all right.
I mean, Milky Way could be on the board. You have a wild
card.
Oh,
true. Yeah. Who knows what's coming.
Reese's Cup is definitely the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fine with a Reese's Cup.
All right. So, Elise, you are up.
Okay. I really don't know what to do with this, but I'm going to do Guilty Pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna do Raisinets.
Ooh,
that counts.
I'm with you. I like the obscurity. I think that's a really solid
that's
guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Another one of my favorite.
It's a
candy.
Great guilty pleasure. Yeah. Good work.
That is great. All right. So I'm back up. I have two picks back to back. All right. I am gonna go with my non-chocolate candy. All right. I've got a couple options here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some Skittles, which I think are totally fine.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's going to list them all his.
Yeah.
Options.
Yeah. But
this is like the countdown clock during the NFL draft. It's like, all right. Patrick, you're on the clock. Like, just make your picks.
I am going to I'm going on my heart.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then.
What are you going for your fourth pick?
My fourth pick, I'm going to go to Wild Card.
Okay. Same. Well, yeah, because of the Guilty Pleasure.
Guilty
no one
Pleasure.
Else can take it. Sure.
Yeah.
You got
nobody's going to pick this. So I'm safe. I get the last pick in the draft. I'm safe.
He's going to say like Circus Peanuts or something stupid like that.
Circus Peanuts suck.
Disgusting.
Or he might go with Licorice too. I don't know. That's,
maybe Licorice.
That seems like a weird thing
he
would like.
We'll see. All right. I am going to go with Wild Card. And you know what? I'm going to get it off the board to ruin your non-chocolate. I'm going to take Skittles and Wild Card.
What?
To make y'all's non-chocolate draft terrible.
You're the worst. You are the worst.
Yeah.
So There you go. Elise, you are up. You
boo
have
that man.
You this have is like, non-chocolate and wild card.
This is like drafting a wide receiver as a tight end. That's awful.
I mean, I have to do Jolly Ranchers for non-chocolate because it's the only one I can think of right now that's not just odious.
That is odious, I think.
They're fine. Some of them are pretty good. A Jolly
Rancher. I've never once been in my life like, I want a Jolly Rancher.
As a kid, I would. I thought there's something about them that's a little bit nostalgic.
Okay. I get it. I get the nostalgia factor.
All right. Yeah. And all then, right. David Drubb, you have your last two. Right.
My last two. Okay. So I'm going to come in. I'm going to get for my non-candy.
Non-chocolate.
Sorry, non-chocolate. Non-chocolate. I'm going to take Starburst.
Okay. That's totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to feel good.
I also hate Starburst, but
I don't like them much either.
Yeah.
Stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, I don't like them as much now as I did before, but I think that's where I'm going.
They taste like a Sour Patch Kid with the sour off, is what I would say. Just a patch kid.
So I've got a question about the wild card, because I've got a couple options here.
Sure.
But on the wild card, how would we feel about me selecting like a home-baked baked good? Because I think there are lots of people who give out like home-baked goods.
Nobody gives out home-baked goods anymore because people are afraid of them.
Yeah, but I am not afraid of them, so I will eat your drugged home-baked goods. All right, fine. We're not accepting home-baked goods. All right, then I will take Milky Ways as my wild card.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you are locked in. Elise, what is your wild card?
Hershey Special Dark.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so that means we've got some
Your last
here.
Guilty pleasure. What's your, yeah, what's, so, so what are you weighing out?
I could try to pick a good guilty pleasure.
Or you can
I'd say,
your,
like, does this count? Like, you know, like, I think this is good. Like, is Crackle a good guilty pleasure?
No.
I think it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, Crackle is fine. It's chocolate and right. It's fine.
I agree. I think it's too good. Yeah. I'm with you. All right, so.
I don't know that any, like, chocolate thing, other than, like, Tootsie Roll, I would give you Tootsie Roll. But other than that, I don't think any, there's, I can't think of a chocolate that would fall into guilty pleasure.
Okay, so.
Raisinets, but I already got that one.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I would never have chosen that anyway. So that's
Junior Mints.
Okay. I think like a Mounds, like a coconut, choconut, that's would be, for me, this lands in this guilty.
I don't think that's objectively bad. I think there are too many people who like coconut for that to be objectively bad.
Nobody likes that. All right. I will say this. Okay. I've got three options I'm weighing out here. So option number one is going to be black licorice.
Yeah, that is definitely
guilty pleasure. That counts.
Is it legit that you like it?
I do like it. I do think it's good. Yeah, I do like black. Yeah.
That is a legit guilty pleasure because it's disgusting.
Okay,
put it in.
No.
He's got two other choices.
Are we supposed to vote on this?
No. I just like to talk these things out.
Okay.
He's on the clock. He's going to use this full time. All right.
And now that I said I have three, maybe I only have two.
Okay. What do you got as number two?
My second one would be the strawberries. But I think those are too well liked.
Oh, the hard candy strawberries that are like chewy.
I think those are too well liked.
By who? Old ladies?
I love them.
I like them too.
Yeah. I think that if people see a bag or a bowl of hard candy, that's the one that people are going for. And I think that's what tells you they're not.
So I think I'm going to go with the weird candy that people get, but I do think is actually good and I like. I'm going to get it's not a Tootsie Roll, but it's the flavored Tootsie Roll.
Oh, yeah. Those are gross. Those absolutely. Are real weird. It's like a worse Starburst.
Yeah. But I got mine with my guilty pleasure and you had to take yours with your non-chocolate candy, okay?
I'm fine with my Starburst selection. I'm pretty happy with my draft.
Anything not draft that you wish that you think should be on here?
I think Tootsie Pops. Yeah. The sucker should be on there somewhere. That's a shame that they didn't make the list. But
Rice Krispies treats. I wish I could redo.
That's a good point.
That would have been a great wild card.
That would have been an excellent wild card. That's a good point. Yeah.
So or even a non-chocolate.
Or like Famous Amos cookies and like bagged snacks like that.
Okay. Chips Ahoy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. There you go. All right. So this is coming out on Monday. I will post this to social media.
I love
it. We'll do a vote at our Wednesday night dinner.
And we'll all see that I will come out on top again.
We will see.
I love my draft. I feel really good about my draft.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy for you.
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Just saying what?
I didn't get the number one draft. Like, I didn't get Reese's Cup. That's fine. I didn't need it. I'm really happy with where I went. I think my strategy
played out
well.
You don't have necessarily anything super offensive on your draft. So I've got
candy corn. I'm going to get the candy corn lovers of the world. They're going to come out of the woodwork.
Nobody loves candy corn that much.
They're going to come out for it.
Yeah.
They're all going to say like,
Elise's Jolly Ranchers and Special Dark. That's going to be maybe the downfall.
Yeah.
It's possible.
People like Special Dark though. Like
that is.
Special Dark.
I think there's definitely people out there who love
people
it.
People feel strongly.
That's why it's a wild card and not a guilty pleasure. Yeah.
All right. We will see what happens.
This is fun. We should do a draft every week.
No. It's bad for my ego.
Beyond draft.
Beyond the draft, yeah.
Yes. All right, let's jump into our main topic.
Okay.
We're We actually
it's a little spooky season here. We did demons last week,
and we're going to continue.
We're doing more spooky,
stories.
Ooh. Yeah, there we go.
What horror?
Our sound effects department is on point this month.
What horror stories can and cannot tell us about the world? Uh-huh. By Russell Moore.
Okay.
No relation to Beth Moore.
Which right, but we like Russell. He's done some good job or good stuff lately.
We probably don't like Russell. We probably disagree with Russell Moore on quite a lot.
We've used his stuff. He's written.
But I find him as a writer and editor of Christianity Today, you know, a tangential alliance, right? You know, like he is a strong evangelical.
Yeah, we would definitely not agree fully on all theology,
but we agree enough. And So
I think we could have a conversation with Russell Moore, and we wouldn't walk away hating each other.
Agree completely. Yeah. Agree completely.
We would disagree,
maybe
but we wouldn't.
Respect, agree. Yeah. Some agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Some common enemies.
Sure.
maybe that might be the way we like Russell Moore.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. Yes. That's the easiest way to make friends, I think, as an adult, is to both hate the same person.
Yeah, mutual enemy. We're friends now.
Pro tip.
So, just true confession before we get in here. I'm not really that into horror stuff.
Okay.
It's,
like,
just
already,
not, it's not my
that.
Jam.
We I'm
just,
knew that yeah. about you.
Like, I'll watch it. It's fine. It's just not my thing.
I knew that before you even said it.
Fair enough.
So we're not surprised.
at least
I didn't say it was like a surprising confession.
At least, how do you feel about the horror?
Pretty good. So I'm reading a horror novel right now. I'm rereading one. I just finished up reading one for the first time. And now I'm reading a second horror novel in the month of October. So
okay.
I'm a horror fan. To an extent, I don't do a lot of watching, really, gory horror
Maybe
stuff.
That's the thing. Maybe I've tried to watch too much and haven't, read it. Maybe I would be more into it if I was reading horror.
Vastly prefer to read good, literary horror.
Sure, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't like any, you know, movies now where, to torture and dismember.
Yeah,
just not into it.
Just not into it.
How gross can we make it? Yeah.
And maybe as a younger man, I would have been more excited about that. But now, no, not excited about it.
Yeah.
I was really excited about the Alien TV show that came out, but it was... bit of a letdown.
Okay.
So,
and
did
I
you put
I,
Alien in horror?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Alien
is
one
like a classic
is,
horror.
Yeah.
Huh.
I would have put it much more in sci-fi kind of thing. But
it's
okay.
A sci-fi horror.
It's a sci-fi horror.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cross genre. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And I will have a horror movie rec at the end of the podcast. And if you wanted to throw one out there too, you're more than welcome to.
Aliens, apparently, because it's apparently a classic horror movie.
Alien is a sci-fi horror. Aliens is more of an action movie. So
those are different. All right.
I'll do a horror book rack.
Okay, there you go.
I will sit quietly and smile. And
all right. All right. So what horror stories can and cannot tell us about the world by Russell Moore? So he's going to start with quoting... an essay from Joe Hill.
Joe Hill, okay.
And this is Stephen King's son, and he changed his name to Joe Hill.
Because Joe King was just
too much.
Too on the nose. Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm sure you'd be like, I'm Stephen King's son. I'm Joe King. And you're like, wait.
Wait. What?
Are you Stephen King's son?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. All right. He talks about what it was like to, go to your dad's, take your kid to work day with your dad, and other people's kids are learning how to sell cars or be an accountant. He's like, my dad is thinking of ways for a homicidal clown could lure children into a sewer crate.
It's totally normal.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right. So he was talking about why people crave stories that terrify them, whether in books, films, video games, or podcasts. And he says this. People, and this is from Joe King. Yeah. Not Russell Moore. People believe or want to believe in a moral universe, a universe that confirms the existence of the human soul, a thing of incalculable worth that can be won or lost. Dude, I'm in. Joe.
Sounds right. Yeah.
I'm with you. If that heightened moral universe doesn't exist in reality, I think it does. Richard Dawkins thinks it doesn't. And you can form your own conclusions. Then we will search for it in fiction. We don't want to flee Salem's Lot. We want to live there. Salem's Lot is a story, is a book by Stephen King.
Ah.
It's about vampires.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Not about the witch trials of Salem. Okay. Got it.
It's Jerusalem's Lot is the actual name of the place, but it's abbreviated Salem's Lot.
Sure.
I've read it.
Salem is a common abbreviation of Jerusalem. That's
you didn't know that one?
No.
Yeah. Big mix up with the Israelis.
I often abbreviate words by the end of them.
Jeruslot does not.
Jerus. Yeah. Jeru.
All right, so the reason we want such horror stories is because we recognize there's evil out there and we just don't know what to do with it. And this is Joe Hill again. To be human is to find oneself confronted with vast, terrible forces in the lacked form that can't be fought in any literal sense, hand to hand, stake to heart. That doesn't satisfy us. It's fine if there's evil, wickedness, and cruelty. We just want it to have a point. If we're in this fight, we want to know that there's an enemy out there, not just bad luck and grinding impersonal historical forces. More than that, though, once you give evil a face and fangs, once you give it an agency, it's possible to imagine a force that opposes against it, a light that can drive out shadow. Hmm. All right, so what do we think here about Joe Hill's thoughts on why people want horror?
I think that works well for kind of a specific type of horror, right? Like, we're talking about a monster story, that works very well, and I'm totally on board with him. I think the thing is, there are many different types of horror, right?
Sure.
Like, there's kind of more cerebral horror, there's body horror, there's all that stuff, and it's not giving a face to evil so much.
Yeah.
So I think that there's more kind of to explore in that direction.
Yeah. But I do think, like, there's a point here. I think there's, like, the idea of, like, we don't need horror to tell us the world is scary.
Mm-hmm.
The world is scary as is, right? Like, we get it. Like, we don't need, if you've never seen a horror movie, you're not into horror, the world can still be terrifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of, like, well, I want to step into a movie or a book or a podcast or whatever and experience the same terror that I can experience in the world, but I see a terror that can be defeated,
resolved,
has a face, and then because that has a face, it I like that I can imagine that there's now a light that can drive out that shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in many ways comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, like, the horror movie or TV or book or TV show ends on a bad note where our heroes die, you could at least imagine a world where they could have lived, or they could have won, or the next group of heroes can win on the other, you know, in the sequel or the next thing. Like, it was possible.
Yeah.
But if the horror is just, like, war or poverty,
and
that's the horror, we, like, it's hard to imagine, like, it's always going to win.
Yeah.
Like, it's until there are no more people. Like, it's, like, that's just going to be there. Like, cancer is always going to win out on some level. Maybe it doesn't win out in you or me, but it's always going to win.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, so, like, that is more scary. So I like a horror is an evil that can be defeated.
Yeah. So I wonder if this is my aversion to horror overall, is that I feel like I spend most of my professional life and a lot of my personal life facing the realities of the evil in the world, right? The cancer, the war, the starving, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's part of my name. And so, like, to come in and be like, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to go into a fictionalized world and where we're having to, like, face this even more. Like, that, it does not have appeal to me. But at the same time, like, I can understand, like, if you don't, for me, I just look at all this stuff in the world, and my comfort, my assurance is that when I read scripture, my faith tells me this has already been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look cancer in the face and say, yeah, this person that I'm sitting with is dying of cancer, and that's awful, but I know that the resurrection is true, and this cancer has ultimately been defeated, right? I know that in the end, this is ultimately, and so I don't have to look to, and I don't mean this is like a superiority thing, but, like, for me, I don't look to a fictionalized world to find that glimpse of hope and that glimpse of promise. I look to my faith for that. And because I spend so much of my life staring that in the face, it's less appealing for me to go and hunt that out in a fictionalized setting.
Yeah.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah. And I think, for me, I think some of the most effective horror is the horror where the villain, you feel empathy for them. They're somehow relatable, right? Like, the monster that's really just a product of the person that made it, right? The
Dr. Frankenstein's monster.
Exactly. Like, the
notice how I used the name appropriately.
Do I get credit for that? Frankenstein's monster is also acceptable. Yeah,
but I like to give people the honorary title that they have earned.
Yeah, that's very formal of you.
I think he's been discredited and stripped of his titles.
Right, yeah.
I, for one, once you're digging up bodies and stitching them together.
Listen, I have a great family story about this that we can maybe get to.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
it fits. That's great.
Digging up bodies.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
But, you know, or the villain that you get why they did it. Even the things that they're doing might be horrific, you can like step into that place and be like, oh, I see how that they wound up there, you know? Like, that's very effective horror.
Yeah, it's kind of like
the
Sweeney Todd mentality of like, yeah, like I can't believe they're murdering these people and grinding up their meat, but like I understand like the poverty and the, you know, the destitution that led them to that. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. I think we, Elise and I, did a podcast a few years ago about like how, why horror movies are good for faith, because like it's one of the spaces.
I remember being gone for that one. Yeah, that's fine.
That actually embraces faith, right? Like, I think we kind of like said, like,
yeah, it's fair.
If you're watching a movie and a character pulls out a cross and says the Lord's Prayer, you're either watching one of two things, right? You're either watching a horror movie or you're watching a God's Not Dead sequel.
B-movie,
To God, To Not Dead. You know, like, whatever.
To God, Not Dead squared.
God's Not Dead 2, Electric Boogaloo, or whatever they're called, right? Like, one of those two movies are what you're watching. And, but in a horror movie, like, elements of faith can be discussed for, like, a secular world in a way that you can't squeeze into a superhero movie as easily, or even a drama. Mm-hmm. These things, because they don't quite fit the narrative.
Yeah, because the superhero world challenges the notion of God altogether.
Like, yeah.
Right?
Like,
but the mythical horror world says, here are these spiritual forces, and you're like, oh, well, there must be a more powerful spiritual force that can defeat them. It really opens it up to that.
But like, you as even like an atheist can watch The Conjuring, which is about an exorcism from a Christian couple who are bringing crosses and Bible verses and holy water into a whole scary place and be like, this makes sense. Like, we get that this exists because it has, like, faith exists in horror.
Yeah.
And I really like that is, like, a thing that you can kind of step into. When you see evil, like, we need a power bigger than me to kind of combat this.
There's already a buy-in to the supernatural when you're reading or watching a horror story. So it's kind of a natural venue to explore faith as well. I don't know why we always... like, the supernatural buy-in is always more interesting when it's darker, you know?
Yeah.
That's a darker backdrop than if we were... Was there a movie with Robin Williams that was, like, a movie about that?
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. No. I don't think that's it.
Jumanji.
Definitely not that.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, that's you're going the wrong direction. All right. But what's about, like,
what was that movie where he was in Vietnam?
What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come, yeah. And
what,
like,
was the movie where he was in Vietnam?
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, that one. Is it that?
Good morning, Vietnam.
That was a terrible impersonation. You're way too quiet.
Anyway, it's like, that's the one that I can think of off the top of my head that I would say is like a serious, like, acclaimed movie about faith and the supernatural without the dark backdrop.
Yeah, I think where we get that sometimes is where we get the supernatural with a lighter backdrop, but with, like, angels with a dark side, right? Like, not even a dark side, but
good,
like,
omens.
Good omens, right? Conflicted show. Angels, right? Yeah. Like, you know, where, like, the angels are struggling with this, like, how do I be always good? And being always good isn't necessarily what's good in the world. And, like, and, you know, so you get this supernatural being wrestling with that. I think we get that from without the darkness of it sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hear you. I think your point is really well taken. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to circle back to this idea, like, that Joe Hill said at the very beginning, like, we want to live in Salem's Lot. And I think that has a point, right? Like, we want to live in a world where there's evil, but it can be defeated, right? Like, and I like that idea. Like, we want to say, okay, because our world is already scary. So, like, vampires are scary, but they're, so is poverty, and so is war, and so is, like, watching images on our screen of, like, humans bombing one another indiscriminately or dragging people from their homes based on the color of their skin or their status as a as a person. But, like, in Salem's Lot, like, you can win.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, like, that's the idea. Like, it's still scary, but it's a scary that I can win against.
Sure.
And I think that has a thing. So this is Russell Moore now. Maybe we want meaning and resolution, the kind of horror we can get back into the coffin with a stake in its heart, because we do live in a universe that's a haunted house. And I think we do. Only things that pop out at us aren't people in costumes. It's cancer, and it's death, and it's poverty, and it's all these things. But I want a world, again, that I can walk through, defeat. And he says, but this is, again, this is Russell Moore, but it's been claimed by one, this haunted house, it's been claimed by one whose voice causes the spirits to ask, have you come to destroy us? And we want the answer to be yes.
Yeah.
It's occurring to me here that maybe there's a little bit of a crossover in the reasons why we like horror and the reasons why we like true crime, right? Yeah. That it's like, if I just learn enough about the serial killer's habit, then I'm not going to fall prey to it. Like, if I just learn how not to get murdered, I won't get murdered.
I know.
If I just learn enough about how to avoid the scary stuff, it's not going to happen to me. You know?
That's why I carry garlic and a wooden steak in my pocket at all times. Yeah. I've learned. Yeah.
And it's funny, like, my wife, like, loves true crime and, like, listens to it as, like, a relaxing thing, but does not really like horror stuff.
Right.
Like, she pretends she does, but she doesn't.
Right.
And, but I'm like, well, true crime is real. Like, that's a real person that, like, was murdered. Yeah. But, like, for whatever reason, like, there's a... It's easier to digest than, like, a fictional horror.
Yeah. You know?
All right, so this is Russell Morgan. This is his conclusion, and we'll kind of take from that. So... Horror stories tell us a half-truth, and I think this is true. They tell us the world is both terrifying and more meaningful than our everyday lives allow us to see. The gospel, though, assumes the horror story and then overcomes it. Mm. And that's the difference between the two. One leaves you running from the monster. The other shows you that the monster is around you and within you. And it gives you everything you need to overcome it, namely that mercy is stronger than death. And that's his ending. And I think that that is probably... what is different about the gospel versus a horror story is it's asking us to say, like, the monster is just not some external thing that can be killed with a stake or a gun or whatever you need to kill the monster. The monster's already also inside me.
The call is coming from inside the house.
That I'm also kind of the monster.
Did I get it right? Did I do it? Did I do horror? That is,
you did horror.
That's pretty tame horror. So we're clear.
But did I do it?
you did a horror quote.
You did a horror. But that, like that idea, like that Elise had, like, a monster that can be understood, because I'm also a monster that needs to be understood by, you know, a savior.
Yeah. Or the monster is redeemable. Yeah. That's also a very, like, powerful horror trope. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not just teenagers in the woods. Like, that they're not just our heroes. Like, Jesus is the hero and they need that to happen. Any other thoughts on horror?
Yeah. I think anytime that we can allow art to cause us to think about faith and life and spirituality, I think that's meaningful. And it might not be my jam, but I'm all for the conversation, right? If somebody comes to me and they're like, I want to talk about faith because of this horror movie I saw, I'm like, okay, let's see where that goes, right? And I'll point them to you two, because you will have a lot more to talk about with them than I will. But that's fine. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get to our recs. Yeah. I'll go first. Okay. Or at least if you want to go first. It doesn't matter to me.
I'll books sit quietly. First, maybe.
Yeah,
and
book
then
first.
You guys are going to do movies.
No, I'm going to do
I'm
movies.
Gonna, I'm going to sit silently. Yeah.
You'll say Bible.
There's some good there's some there's scary some stories
solid
in the Bible.
Horror
yeah.
in the Bible if you read it right.
My favorite miracle of Jesus is a horror story.
Which one's your
when
favorite?
He confronts Legion the demon. Sure. That's my favorite miracle.
That's a good one,
Yeah. So really anything by Grady Hendrix is going to be a shout out for me. He's a horror author from Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, solid.
Shout out. Yep.
It's got some comedy in there too.
It's got some comedy. It's a little bit of a literary horror.
And some commentary about the world.
It's
very
solid, like make you think commentary. So I'll throw out two in particular. How to Sell a Haunted House is probably the scariest book that I've ever read. Just straight up. And there's a lot of stuff about like evangelical puppet ministry of like the 80s and 90s in there.
Love
it's
that.
It's a classic haunted house on top of that. It's like a dealing with the death of parents story. It is amazing. It is so scary. I could not read it at night at all. I had to read it in broad daylight, which doesn't normally happen to me with books. And then the
How to Sell a Haunted House.
How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. And the other one by him is Magic for Wayward Girls. For sure, you probably don't want like your young kids to read either one of these.
I think that's probably true for most of these recs. Yeah,
most of these recs, yeah. But this one is definitely a social commentary. It centers around the maternity homes that were very popular in the 40s through 70s in the U.S., where teenage pregnancies were sent to kind of have their babies in secret, and then they were farmed out for adoption. It is a horrifying story. It makes you think. It makes you consider the future. And it is incredibly well written.
Okay, there you go. So for my movie rec, it's actually kind of a religious movie too. It's a movie called Heretic, and it is about two young women who are Mormon missionaries. And they get called to a house, and the actor by Hugh Grant. And
I love Hugh Grant.
Me too. It's a very creepy role by Hugh Grant. Yeah. And they are going there to like tell him more about the Mormon faith. And he welcomes them into his home, and then it becomes
track one.
Then it becomes weird.
Yeah. You know,
then everything
sweet.
And it has like he has some strong attacks on faith that becomes a bit of a cat and mouse game of of debating faith elements. It does ultimately become like a scary, like a more traditional scary movie at some point. But the first two thirds, I think, are wonderful.
Okay.
And has a lot of tension, a lot of like faith debate attached to it. That has come out somewhat interesting. So,
what was the name again?
Heretic.
Heretic. Okay.
Yeah. So,
right. How to buy a haunted house, how to sell a haunted house.
How to sell a haunted house.
And Heretic. Yep. And something for wayward girls.
Magic for wayward girls.
Magic for them.
Yeah.
All right. Solid Rex all the way around. I got nothing.
Yeah. Thank you for the shout out.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this year's episode and our candy draft, be sure to check out our Instagram page, I'm assuming, where you can vote for your favorite.
Some Instagram page. I don't know.
Some Instagram, maybe a Facebook thing.
Maybe a Facebook thing, yeah.
Send us a carrier pigeon, right? We might get that.
Send us an email. Tell
let us know who's, why my draft is the best.
Do you want me to sum up everybody's
draft?
Let's
let's do a quick run through on the draft.
So Patrick's draft. Peanut M&M's, Kit Kat, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles, the flavored Tootsie Rolls.
Terrible.
Pastor David's draft. Twix, Snickers, Starburst, Milky Way, candy corn.
Solid.
And Elisa's draft, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, Three Musketeers, Jolly Ranchers, Hershey's Special Dark, Raisinets.
You're relying on LeBron James to bring your whole team into the championship, and it's just not going to happen. And you got to give LeBron a team to play with.
Yeah. Most of these are things I actually like, which I think is my mistake.
I love everything on my list.
I would absolutely eat everything that I'm on.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think yours is a strong... That's what I love. Like, everybody's like, I want to vote for the thing I love. I don't think yours is getting
it. I got five strong starters who are all going to go
in. You may have
the
least objectionable
things. Yeah, I think you might win on that.
I'm fine with that.
You have nothing that may disqualify you.
I've gotten through much of my life by being the least objectionable thing in the room.
I am the most vanilla.
Yes. Well, if you ever need a Tinder profile, that's something that's good for your thing.
Vanilla.
I'm the least objectionable person on here.
On Tinder, that's probably true. That's
no green lights, but no red lights.
Right. Let's hope you don't need it.
Agreed. For any number of reasons.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, if you like this episode, be sure to send us an email, bouncingitpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all of our episodes, including last year's Thanksgiving draft episode, at bouncingitpodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.